Good morning. Today will Mirtz Hashem be the last shiur on Skiras Metalkalin. Next week we will begin the topic of Skiras Karka, real estate leases, which as we pointed out, it's the shiurs that come up are mostly in Skiras Karka, but many of the yesoidas that are required to understand it come from the sugyas that we've learned over the past few weeks, the sugyas of Skiras Metalkalin. So I'd like to go back and go through three basic halachos that we skipped out over the past few weeks. The first halacha is that we've discussed ba'arichos, what happens if you rent a ship, you rent something, and there's an oinus, the ship sinks, the cargo sinks, car breaks down. We discussed various kinds of oinus and various reasons why one or both parties had to back out of the deal. What happens in the absence of an oinus? Person rents a car, he hires a ship to transport him, and in the middle he changes his mind, he sells the cargo, he decides to get off. What are his responsibilities? So over here the halacha is clear, that if you hire a ship to take you to a certain destination, and halfway through you simply change your mind, the halacha is you're responsible to pay for the entire journey. Now, this is only if you do not find a replacement. On the other hand, if you hire the ship to take you to a place and halfway through the journey you stop and you decide to get out, but you find someone else who's willing to take your place, then the halacha is you could do that. The ship owner cannot double dip. And in that case, he's getting his full money. You have the right to do that. You will not have to pay. But in the absence of that, if the ship owner will have a loss, you will pay for the entire trip. Okay, very good. So that we're going to have to deal with in a case. Pashas not. Pashas, you're backing out. Once you're backing out, now the halacha is if there's a loss, you're responsible to pay for it. If there's someone else that the ship owner finds to replace it, so he has no loss, he can't double dip. But if he charges that second person more, pashas, it belongs to him. We're going to revisit this issue when we deal with a soicher subletting property, primarily in the sugya of Skiras Karka. There will be a further discussion about renting out for more than what you paid. Now, in this halacha, there are actually two nekudas that have to be pointed out. The first is that in the context of hiring a worker, if you hire a worker and you fire him in the middle of the job for no reason, so there too you have to pay the worker for his loss. You have to pay him for the entire term, provided he cannot find other employment. However, you pay kapayel batel. You do not have to pay the full amount of the contract, because it's true, had he finished the job, he would have gotten paid another $5,000. But the bottom line is he has a vacation. He gets to stay at home. He doesn't have to work. That has value. If you go over to a worker and tell him, I can either pay you $5,000 to complete the job, or I'll give you $4,000 and you take a vacation for the next few weeks, he would probably take the $4,000 because it's schar batala. There's a certain amount a person would be willing to accept a reduction in his pay in order to have vacation. So therefore, by poyolim, whenever the balabayas, whenever the employer backs out, although he has to pay for the remainder of the term, you deduct the fact that the poyol is benefiting that he has a vacation. Now, how much that is depends on the case. There's a taz that says the default amount you pay half. That's standard, but it will pashas depend on the particular circumstances. Here too as well, the Torah says that if you hire this fellow, the captain, to transport you, and in middle you decide to get off. So the Torah says, although you have to pay for the entire journey, you deduct kapayel batel, you deduct the fact that there's less wear and tear on the ship. The captain doesn't have to actually do anything. He can just stay there. And therefore, you'll be able to take off kapayel batel. You will not pay the full amount. This seems to be a machlokes. The Magen Mishnah brings down, and the Shittim Kubetzes brings down Rabbi Yohanan that says you pay the full amount. But the Tzoyis says it's not really a machlokes. It really depends on the case. If there is a benefit to the owner that he doesn't have to work, then everyone agrees you would deduct that. You would not pay the full amount. On the other hand, if there is no benefit, as far as he's concerned, he has to travel there anyway, and whether he's traveling with a full ship or empty ship doesn't make it any easier for him, in that case, you would pay the full amount. Now, although, as far as dinei mamonos, if the owner doesn't suffer a loss. If there's someone else willing to take your place, who's willing to pay for the rest of the journey, you have the right to back out. Nevertheless, the Gemara says you would have tarumos on the first person. Because he switched, now the owner, the ship captain, has to deal with a second person. There's a certain tirchah involved. He already got used to you. Now he has to go ahead and negotiate and get to know another person. And there's a certain tirchah or nakishmai in having to deal with a second person. So he has the right to have tarumos. He has the right to be upset. But as far as monetary recourse, he will not have, since the bottom line is someone else is willing to take your place, someone's willing to pay for the rest of the journey, then there's no other tzvias mamon. If, on the other hand, there's additional wear and tear, you sell your goods, you're unloading the ship, now they're going to load the ship a second time, this new person is going to pay for the rest of the journey. But loading and unloading the ship causes some sort of hefsedim, some sort of wear and tear on the ship, then the Ramal Paskins, the first person would have to pay. He has to make sure that the owner does not suffer any financial loss from the fact that you are backing out. The Goyin makes this into a machlokes, but most Paskins seem to hold, like the Ramal, that you would have to pay for any hefsed. So this is the first concept. When you back out without an oinus, you have to make the owner whole. You have to pay for any hefsed that he'll have. Less the kapayo bata. Now another halacha, which we're going to revisit again when we get to Schiris Karka, but I'd like to at least introduce it today, is there's a concept of a shtoyl shloimidas. We all know that there's a gazlan. What is a gazlan? Someone who goes ahead and steals something. He takes it, he's keeping it, he's a gazlan, he's responsible to pay for any oinsin, it's awesome. What's the halacha if you're a shtoyl shloimidas? You decide you're going to borrow something from your friend. You don't have permission. He doesn't know about it. But your intent is to use it and then to return it to him. You're not trying to steal it. You're just temporarily using it. So this is a shoyl shloimidas. And we pass in a shoyl shloimidas is a gazlan. Although your intent is to return it, although you're not causing any loss, you're just temporarily borrowing it, the halacha is you have a din of a gazlan. If anything happens, you're going to be responsible to pay for it. What about a soicher shloimidas? What happens if you take someone's item to use and you plan on paying him rent? You're going to use it, but you're going to pay for that use. So here, too, the halacha is, in a typical case, a soicher shloimidas is a din of a gazlan. Although you're going to pay for the use, since you didn't get permission, the owner never gave you the right to do it, you're going to be a gazlan. Now, a gazlan in this case is a kula, not a chumra. I mean, as far as dinei mamonos, obviously it's a chumra that you're over an iser. Because like this, if halacha was that you're a seicher, you help yourself to someone's car, you make a cheshbon, you rent a car, it's $50 a day, I'm going to use it for 2 days, I'm going to pay him $100. So if halacha is you'd be a din of a seicher, what would be? At the end of the 2 days, you give him back the car, you pay him $100. If you have a din of a gazlan, if someone steals your car, returns it six months later, there's no hefzer, there's no damage to the car. Does a gazlan pay rent? No. Kol gazlan mishalom kishas gzela. A gazlan simply gives back the item. He says, "Arei shalchol lefanecha," assuming it's in equal, there was no shinei Hashem, and he gives back the item. So if you have Masha'enkin, if you have din of seicher, then he would have to actually pay for the use. So in most cases, a seicher shleimidas, even though his intention was to pay, will have a din of a gazlin. He was over iser gzela. He'll be responsible for any oinsin, but he will not have to pay rent. The exception to this is if the item was oimid l'schiris, if it was something that the owner was rogel to rent out, and the person took it in order to pay for it. He took it in order with the intention of paying for it. So in that case, where it was oimed the schiros, and he took it, adaita the schiros, in that case, he will have a din of a seicher. He will have to pay for the use. But there's one chumra in that case, and that is, if the item is nenas, if it's destroyed by oinus, a regular seicher is pater an oinus. But in this case, where he took it without permission, although his intention was to pay for it, he is going to be responsible for any oinsin, he'll have to pay. So in that case, the owner will have a choice. If the item is in good condition, he can say it's omid l'schirus. You took it with the intent to pay. I want rent. Ma'ase enkei, and if it's nanas, if the item was destroyed, there the owner can say, l'maase, you took it without permission. You are doimer to a gazlan, and therefore I want you to pay, even though it was an actual oinus. Yes, it is similar, but there is an important distinction, is that karka is different than metalthalin. Karka is einon exelus, and therefore by karka there's a concept of zen nene v'zeh chaser. If you benefited by living there, and the owner had a chasar, and even a little bit, you have to pay the entire hana. Even in a case by loy nene v'zeh chaser, where if the gazlan doesn't have hana because he has another house, still there's a concept of oichel chasroino shelzeh, that according to many rishayim, we're going to be chayiv. So it's when you're dealing with karka, it's more chomer in the sense that it is easier to make the gazlan pay for his use. Metalathlin is different because metalathlin could be stolen and has a din of gzela in many more cases. No, okay. There's no yish. There's no yish. And there's no shinoi. There's no shinoi. Well, she knows afterwards. The point over here is that even though a soicher is pater on oinsin, and over here it was oymed l'schirus, and you took it in order with the intent to pay the rent, since it was shaloi bershus, since the owner didn't give you permission, you're still going to be responsible for oinsin. The owner has the upper hand. Okay, so that we discussed. That was the question of Mishana. Right. That was a different discussion. So this leads us to an interesting case. This is a Trumas Adeshen. The Ramah brings it down. It's actually from a Trumas Adeshen. A person, there was some sort of emergency, and there was a flood somewhere. He desperately needed a chamar or a sus to go ahead and to travel and to save his warehouse that was going to be destroyed. He goes, he finds, his car wasn't handy. So he runs out, he sees his neighbor had his sus. And he says, give me the car, give me the sus. I need to go ahead and rescue my warehouse. There's $100,000 worth of merchandise. If I don't run now, it's going to be destroyed. The fellow wasn't home. But his wife told him, I'm very sorry. We also have this emergency. And my husband needs the sus to go ahead and rescue his merchandise. The first person was desperate. He said, okay, well, you know, what kind of emergency? How much is at risk? So it seems the second fellow, the owner of the sus, had $10,000 of merchandise that was going to get lost. So the first person made a quick calculation, said, no problem. I'm taking the sus, and I'm going to pay you for the sus, plus I'll pay you $10,000. I'll cover your loss, and it's kedai for me because I'm going to prevent a much bigger loss to my warehouse. Grabs the sus, runs off. On the way, sure enough, there's an oinus. And the sus dies. So he certainly has to pay the $10,000 because he took achrayus. I'm going to take the sus. I'm going to pay you for your loss. What about paying for the sus? Is he responsible for an oinus? Is he a soicher or is he a gazlan? So in this case, l'chayra, he's a soicher shalemidas. The person was there. The person never explicitly gave him permission. The fellow just told his wife, listen, I'm going to pay for the $10,000, took the sus and ran off. He's a soicher shalemidas. A soicher shalemidas, we said, has a din of a gazlan, that if the item gets destroyed, you have to pay for it. Okay, the case over there was he didn't actually pay for it. He took achrayus. If the person agreed and said, fine, we have a deal, good. Then we have a deal. Then it's certainly a soicher. I'll have the regular dinim. The question is, what happens if there was never not? He didn't wait for an answer. He just took the sus and ran. There was never a haskam. No, it could be responsible. Okay, so Zogdi Chumas Adeshen, a beautiful chiddush. For those that remember a few years ago when we learned Hilchos Hashavas Aveda, what's the halacha? If you're walking down the street, you have a barrel of honey, which is very expensive. Your friend is walking next to you. He has a barrel of wine, which is much less expensive. Your barrel of honey springs a leak. And the only way to save it is to pour the honey into another barrel. Who the only barrel available is the wine that your friend has. So the Gemara, the Mishnah brings down that you have the right to tell the person who owns the wine to force him to spill out his wine in order to save your honey, provided you're going to reimburse him for his yayin. Now, Maker Hadin, there's no such halacha, but this was a takanas bezdin amanas kein hichlu Yeshua es aretz. When Klai Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they made a tnai that in a case where one person will have a big, significant loss, the other person will have a small loss, there's a special takana. You can force the person to suffer that small loss and you'll reimburse him in order to save you from this much bigger loss. Zakhtar Chumas Adeshin, Imkain, who I did over here. You're going to lose $100,000. The other fellow is going to lose $10,000. So when you're going ahead and you're grabbing the sus, Alpidin, you have the right to force him to give it to you. If Alpidin, you have the right to force him to give it to you, you're not a Soicher Shalemidas. You're not a Goslin. You're doing something that he has, even though he's not here, he never accepted, he has a chiyuv to accept it. So in such a case, we look at you as a Soicher Midas. It's like he gave you explicit permission to do this. And therefore, if an oinus happens along the way, you're pater. You have to pay him for his $10,000. You have to pay him for the schirus. But more than that, you do not have to, because it's something which Al Pidin, he would have a chiv to go ahead and to do. Yes, I mean, it's brought down, the Shulchan Aruch was talking about outside of Eretz Yisrael. It was done then, but it was a Tanai Bezdin. Now, the problem is that if you remember from Hashavas Aveda, this Tanai Bezdin was a Machloikis, and in Shulchan Aruch, there's no clear hachra whether we actually hold that you have this right. Comes this man, says Enechanami. If the Machloikis is whether you can force the person, if the person, the Baal HaYayin, says, no, I don't care, I don't want to pour out my wine. So then we have a machlokes where you can force the person to do it. But in our case, where you went ahead, where the owner wasn't there, his wife says, but he needs the horse desperately, he has to save his $10,000. So you say, I'll cover the $10,000, give me the horse. And you ran off without waiting. There was no macha. In a case where there's no macha, where there's silence, there the Sma says, everyone agrees, the stum is, you can assume that the person is maskim. Since it's for you, it's a big loss, and this is certainly what Chazal wanted. In such a case, in the absence of Macha, the Sma says, everyone would agree you could do it, and therefore you would have a din of a Seicha. What? Again, there was no Haskam, he just ran off. Without him, they objected, but then you said, I'll cover your loss. I'll pay the $10,000. At that point, we don't know that he has a kpeda, and you just zoomed off. So in this case, the Sma says that you would have a din of a seicher midas, and you would not be responsible. Now, to take it even a step further, if you take the sus, or you take the car, you're driving normally, and the car just dies, it's meis nachmas malacha. The same halacha would apply, you'd be pater. Because since the halacha is that there's an assumption he would give it to you, that Abidin, this is the tanai, and it's something. So it's not considered. You're not a goslin. You're a regular seicher. So, but whether it's an oinus or whether it's a meis machmas malacha, you'll be putter in this case because you would have the right to do this. So halacha lemaisa, you're davening in shul one Shabbos, and suddenly it starts pouring. Now you're a chassidish fellow. Your hat costs $2,000. You're in a litvish shul. Everyone else is wearing hats that cost $200. On your way out, you notice there's one of those, one raincoat with a hood. There's only one. So, if you have to walk home in the rain, that's a $2,000 loss. If someone else has to walk home in the rain, it's a $200 loss. So, halacha is, even though it's not your raincoat, as long as you take achrayus, you will pay for his hat. That's mamash the case in the Chumash Adeshin. You have the right to say that I'm saving a big hefset, so as long as you're willing to cover the other person's expense for his hat, you would have this halacha, and it would be mutter to go ahead and take the raincoat and reimburse him.
If you think he would not want to do it,
then just like this. There's normally, whenever you do it shalomi daita, you're a goslin. It's only in this case where there's a tanai bezdin, where since one person will have a huge loss, and to save that, he's taking it, but he's going to pay for it, cover the expenses, that certainly does not have a din of a goslin. Now, Okay, now you I don't want it to get confusing, but now that you raised it, there are we do find different levels. What happens, l'mashal, if you're in shul on Sukkos and you see someone has a beautiful esrog lying around? Are you allowed to pick it up and even kind of the mitzvah? So normally there's a klal of mutter linish levin mitzvah b'mayne. Normally halacha is people want you to use their items for a mitzvah. So you want to pick it up, you want to be kind of the mitzvah, whether you could make a bracha, can't make a bracha, that's for another time. But normally you want to do a mitzvah, you have the right to do it because people want. What happens if you pick it up and now it's meis machmas malacha? Something happens to it. Not any negligence, it's meis machmas malacha. You take someone's shofar to blow, and you blow too hard, it cracks. Meis nana pshia, meis machmas malacha. So in that case, it is a machlokes, but most poskim can say you're chayiv. Because although you're not a gazlin, you had there's a klal that you're allowed to do it, but look, you can't say that you have the ptur of meis machmas malacha, because meis machmas malacha is only when the owner explicitly gave you permission to do this. So when the owner lends it to you and gave you permission to do this, they're accepting the risk inherent in the use. Mashenken over here, where the owner didn't explicitly give you permission, they didn't accept this risk of loss, there most places say you will be chayiv. Our case, we're saying that you're potter by meis machmas malacha. Because our case is not just a mutav linish levin mitzvah moinei, that it's probably okay. Our case is a tznai bezdin, that al pidin, there is a chiv to do so. So he might be able to make a macha, may not be able to, but here it's more of a proactive obligation. So there, even on meis machmas malacha, you're going to be potter. The Erech Shai has a chiddush, and he's arguing on the Shach and other poskim, but he takes this concept a step further, and he says, what happens if you have a rental car company? Your business is renting cars. In that case, he says, if I come in and I take the car in order to pay, he says, everyone would agree in that case. He says, you're not a gazlan at all. Because in that case, it's not just the person probably doesn't care. His whole business is renting out cars. He wants you to do it. If you would ask him, if you're not around, should I just take the car and pay you afterwards? He would say yes. That's what he wants you to do. He would say that he's in such a case where it's oymin the schiras, and the owner bedafka would want you to do that. Had you asked him, there he says every case would be similar to the case in the Truma Sadeshan, and he says there you'd be potter even on Meis Nachmas Malach. So there are different levels. It depends on whether it's clearly what the owner prefers, then he says you're not a gazlan, and then you're a regular seicher, and you're potter on Meis Nachmas Malacha. If it's not a preference, it's just he may or may not have a kpeda, then you will be responsible if anything goes wrong. Now, the next halacha I'd like to go through is the concept of if a person rents something, if a person is a seicher, or for that matter a shoyl, and we discussed this also in Hilchos Shomrim, if you're given an item to watch, or you rent an item for your use, the halacha is a seicher cannot go ahead and rent it to a third party. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara why. There's one side of the Gemara of Maver Das Baal Bayis Nikra Gazlan. Since the owner gave it to you, not to this other person, if you switch it, if you give it to someone else to use, that change itself makes into a Gazlan. We do not paskin like that. We paskin that a Maver Das Baal Bayis is not a Gazlan. But the problem with a Soicher giving it to another person is that whenever you rent something to someone, there's a certain amount of trust involved. If it's nanas, if it an oinus happens, or if it's meis machmas malacha, the seicher is pater. How do we establish what happened to the item, whether it was really an oinus or a pshia? The seicher makes a shvuah. So when you rent it to a person, it means you're trusting this person's shvuah. You're willing to accept that risk. If he comes and makes a shvuah that it's an oinus, you know you're going to lose the item. You have the right to say, I trusted you for a shvuah. I didn't give you the right to lend it to some stranger, and now this stranger says it's an oinus. How do I know it's true? I don't trust him. He's willing to make a shvuah, so what? So because of that, there's a svar of at mehemes li b'shvuah, if you, a soicher, cannot give it to someone else, because the owner now is stuck trusting or forced to trust this third party's word, and he can say, I don't accept his shvuah. Therefore, in such a case, if a soicher or a shomer gives it to a third party, if and it's nenas, if there are edim, if we can independently verify that it was an oinus, there was no negligence involved, so then he's pater. Because although he shouldn't have done it, it's not considered a pshia, and if we know l'maisa broke by oinus, there are no chiyuvim. However, if it's just this third person, his word, he's saying there was an oinus, but he can't prove it, even though he's willing to make a shvua, the owner can say, I don't trust him, and therefore the owner will have a claim against the first shomer. So this is the standard din of a soicher cannot give it to another soicher. Now, as we're going to see, this is only when there's a risk of loss. You rent a car, many things can go wrong. An oinus can happen, meis machmas malacha. There are many problems that can occur. And therefore, we have this issue. I trusted you, I didn't trust your friend. If someone rents a field, karka or bias, or there's another case of svina, if you have a situation where you're not trusting the tenant at all. A field, what can happen with the field? It's not, you can't put it in your pocket and walk away. There's no oinus or meis machmas malacha that can occur. So in that case where there's no risk, there's no reason why a soicher cannot rent it out to a second soicher. Now, in the case of a house, we'll deal with, you have bigger families, we'll deal with that in Sfiris Batim. But, at least conceptually, if it's a type of item where there's no risk, either it's talking about a field, or it's talking about, another case in the Rishayim is, if you're renting a ship, but the owner comes along, he's the captain, so he's the one that takes care of it, he's the one that guards it. So if you want to flip that right, that rental, to someone else, that's also okay because there's no extra risk that it's being exposed to. So this is the standard case of a soicher cannot rent it out to another party. B'nei Beisai, the Shach says, is different. If your family members could use it, but a stranger cannot. So this leads us to the following case. A person was a soicher. He rented a car. Now, a soicher, what happens if there's an oinus? What happens? Lightning strikes and oinus happens to the car. Is a soicher chayiv? No. A soicher is chayiv and gneiv aveda, but on oinsin he's going to be pater. This soicher went ahead, and whether he did it bedin or shaloikidin, that's a separate shmuz, he went ahead and he lent the car to his friend. He was mashalit. Didn't get paid for it. Now, what's the halacha if by a shoyl? If you borrow a car from someone and an oinus happens, do you pay for it? Yes. A shoyl is chayiv an oinsin. So here we have a problem. The owner rented the car to someone, soicher is pater an oinsin. The soicher went ahead and gave it to his friend, b'she'ela. And then an oinus occurred. So the shoyl, this third, the person who borrowed it, has a chiv to pay. It was nenas, he has to pay. On the other hand, the owner has no claim to the money because the owner rented it to someone. A soicher doesn't have to pay for oinsin. So the chachamim say a tremendous chiddush. Chachamim say the shoyl pays the soicher for the item. The soicher puts it in his pocket. What? It's not gezeilah. This is the ikar halacha. Because the soicher tells the owner, there was an oinus. I have eidim, there was an oinus. I am pater on oinsin. So that, okay, so that, the sma says it's one that we did shaloi kedin, the shach says he did a kedin, that's a shmuz, but even, let's say he didn't have the right. But even when he didn't have the right, he doesn't become a goslin. Well, like you said, but a soicher that sublets it doesn't become a goslin. He just, there's halach of atmanasli b'shvur. That if an oinus happens, the owner can say, I don't trust this shvur. But if we have independent verification, Adam come in and say, we saw it was an oinus, so then the soicher that subletted shloiked in has no chiv. So in this case, the chachamim say, a peledik chiddush. The shoyl is chayv an oinus, and he has to pay the soicher. The soicher has no chiv to the owner, he keeps the money, he puts it in his pocket. Rabbi Yossi comes along and argues. Rabbi Yossi says, Keitzad haloy oise schoyer viparosi shechavera. You can't, the soicher can't do business with my para. Since the para doesn't belong to him, it belongs to the owner, the soicher can't make money off it, and therefore Rabbi Yossi says the shoyl has to pay directly to the owner. This is the machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. Now, la halacha, we passing like Rabbi Yossi. We passing ketzad haloy oisischer v'parosish kavera, and therefore, in this case, the shoyol will have to pay directly to the owner, even though the owner and the shoyol have no direct connection. The way the Rosh understands, the Rosh says that we look at the seicher as a shliach of the owner, and therefore the shoyol pays the owner directly for the value of the item.
Why doesn't the shoyol just say, "I don't have to pay anything"?
Because the Rosh learns because of the sort of ketzah haloi. We look when the seicher gave it to the shoyol, he was giving it as a shliach, if you will, of the owner, and therefore the shoyol that has kol anosh haloi is nischayev, he has to pay for his use. The person who he pays is not the seicher, he pays directly to the owner. So this is a halacha psuka, and so far it's pretty clear. Long comes the Pesach Tshuva, brings down a Shvus Yaakov, and says, what would be in a slightly different case? What would be if you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have some jewelry, so you knock on your neighbor's door and say, do me a favor, I'm going away for a few weeks, watch my jewelry for me. He's a neighbor, he says, sure, no problem. He'll watch it, he's a Shomer Chinam. Now, a Shomer Chinam, if it gets stolen, is the Shomer Chinam responsible? No. Shomer Chinam is responsible for pshia, for negligence. But assuming he locks his door and then it gets stolen, he's going to be putter, as long as he put it in a place where it's supposed to be. A few days later, your neighbor decides he's also going to Eretz Yisrael. Now, he has no neighbor to give it to anymore because you're gone. So what he does is he hires someone to watch the jewelry for him. Now, when you hire someone to watch your jewelry, now right, this second person is a Shomer Sachar. If it gets stolen, is a Shomer Sachar Chayev or Pater? He's Chayev. Shomer Sachar is Chayev and Gev Aved. So we have the jewelry, the owner gave it to the Shomer Chinam. A Shomer Chinam gave it to a Shomer Sachar. Sure enough, it gets stolen. What is the halacha? So Tosfos in Bava Kamma says, it's the same thing as our sugya. Machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, the Shomer Sachar has to pay the Shomer Chinam because it's stolen. So the Shomer Sachar pays the Shomer Chinam. Shomer Chinam keeps it, puts it in his pocket. He's potter because it was stolen, as long as we have aid them, and he ends up profiting. Rabbi Yossi would argue. Rabbi Yossi says, Ketzer halo is a schayra. It doesn't make sense. The Shomer Chinam ends up with this windfall that he gets the full value and for the owner's jewelry. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that the payment goes directly to the owner. That being said, we now have two other shittas that are the exact opposite. Comes the Shlos Yaakov, and he actually doesn't even bring down Taisus. He says, as Dover Pasha in this case, everyone agrees that the windfall, the value, the payment goes to the Shomer Chinam. Why? He says like this. In the case of a Shoyo, I rented the car to someone. He went ahead and gave it and he was mashal it to his friend. So in that case, if the halacha is he would keep all the money, so he's doing schleira b'parosu shechaveiro. The item belongs to me, it's my car. It doesn't make sense for him to get the value of my car. He's doing business with my car. Over here, Zokta Shavuz Yaakov, why does the Shomer Sachar have to pay the $10,000 for the jewelry? What would be, let's flip around the case. What would be if I would go over to someone and say, listen, there's a house across the street that's worth $500,000. I'm going to give you $2,000 a year, and if it burns down, you have to pay me for the house. I give you the premiums, the house burns down. Who gets paid the $500,000? Me or the homeowner? Is this a machlokes Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim? Sluchay or not? In this case, the same way I can bet on a football game, I can buy options on stocks, on commodities. So I can make a gamble, I can make a deal with you. Here's $2,000, the house burns down, I get $500,000. So it's true we're betting about that house. We can be betting about that game or that stock. That's not doing schayr b'parosu shechaveiroi. The reason why I'm getting paid is because I'm getting this windfall is I paid the premiums. Zokta Shvus Yaakov, in this case, the Shomer Chinam that hired the Shomer Sachar, he paid someone to watch it. He paid someone for the liability. So although the jewelry doesn't belong to him, but there he says it's a davar pashut, the payment, the chiyuv achrayus, is to the person who paid the premium, and therefore the Shulchan Yaakov says that it's as davar pashut, everyone would agree, even according to Rabbi Yossi, that the Shomer Chinam would keep it. Since he's paying the premiums, it's called doing schayra b'paras atzma, because his money is what's creating the schayra. Premiums.
It's like buying insurance.
Right. Now, it's not this, there is machin b'machal between the Shulchan Yaakov and insurance. You know, insurance is something which come out everyone would agree to, because insurance has nothing to do with the item. The same like we can gamble on a stock price, we can gamble on the house burning down. So everyone would really agree that it's not doing schoyer b'parosi shechaveroi. This case is a little bit more chomer because a shomer is not someone who has to watch it and also sells insurance at the same time. A shomer has to watch it. And if he fails in his mission, he has an achrayus on the chefetz. So there already there's more makom. I mean, the Shulchan Yaakov is coming to is really arguing on the Tosfos. So the Tosfos l'chayra holds that's not an outside achrayus. It's true the shomer had to pay. Shomer Chinam paid him to watch it. But the bottom line is he's watching this chefetz. He's achroy on this chefetz, and therefore Tosfos holds we do look at it as paras chaveroi because it's achrayus on the chefetz that belongs to the owner.
What does he do with that?
He doesn't mention it. Pisrei Tshuva is matmiya on the Shvus Yaakov that he missed the Tosis. Pisrei Tshuva asks, Debrei Chaim asks, this is the Achroinim or matmiya on the Shvus Yaakov. But, you know, as far, just because you see Tosis argues on the Shvus Yaakov, doesn't mean he would argue in the case of insurance. Because insurance is more removed. Insurance has nothing to do with the Chavitz. It's a side bargain. A Shomer, his Chiyuv is not a stama in insurance. Shomer is he has a chiyuv to watch it, and if he's not, he has a krayus on.
Can a person stipulate when he gives something? I don't want you doing this.
Fine, very good. That's another. That's directly for the liability. That's also a good svara. That's another reason why even the Shvus Yaakov would mistama number one agree by. Sorry. It's a reason. Right. It's another pshat in why Tosis might argue on the Shvus Yaakov, that because it's the pay. He's a shomer. You're not paying for liability. You're paying him to watch it. The liability just comes with mela. Correct. That is another hesber they say in Tosis. How the Tosis answers the Shvus Yaakov's taina, because Shvus Yaakov does have a very 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 stark taina. Now just wanted to point out one other asvaro punkfa keret. Imre Bina is bothered by the opposite question. And let me just bring it out with another case. What would be if you rent a car? You rent a Rolls Royce. Rolls Royce's cost, let's say, $100,000. You rent it for a day. It's $1,000 for the day. While you're driving it, you're a seicher, an oinis comes along, someone comes with a bazooka, blows up the car. Who does he pay? And how much does he pay? So can the seicher tell the mazik, I rented the car for the day, give me the $100,000? Obviously not. You have to pay the owner $99,000. The soicher can say, I bought one day's use of the car. That's, let's say, $1,000. So you're mazik, give me $1,000. Give me what you took away from me. And the rest, you'll pay the owner. You're mazik him. This is, the Nesiva speaks this out. This is how, what would happen in the case of a mazik. What are we saying now in the case of the Mishnah? A person rented the car, same car, $100,000. He then was mashal it to his friend. It got destroyed. It was an nenas. What do the chachamim say? What is shoyl, who does the shoyl pay? Shoyl pays $100,000 to who? According to the chachamim, he pays to the seicher. Rabbi Yossi says it goes to the owner. How could that be? If I came with a bazooka and blew it up, I'd give the seicher $1,000, give the owner $100,000. How in the world does it make sense that now that it is a shoyl, that it's nenas, how could he pay the seicher more than he has? A seicher can only use the item for one day. How in the world he has the right to say, give me the full value of the item because of this funny case of a seicher and shoyl? So Rebino says, Mikayach this kashi as a chiddush. He says, the pshat is like this. He says, a shoyl is kol hanashaloi. When you borrow something, you have all the upsides. You have free use, no downside. Kol nashaloi. Because it's kol nashaloi, you are accept as payment for that, if you will. You accept that if anything happens, you will pay the owner the full value of the item. Even though, again, mathematically, it doesn't make that much sense in this case. He gets paid much more than his loss. But the way the Imre Rabbeinu understands it, because you are a shoyl, it's kona shaloi, you're mechayev to pay the mashal the full amount, regardless of whether he's the owner or not. That's between him and the owner. Bottom line is, the person who gave it to me, I'm nischayev completely. Imkain, this is a svara only when you lend it to someone, when you're mashal it to them. Masha enkain, in the case where a shomer chinam gives it to a shomer sachar, according to the Rabbeinu svara, there's no pshat in the shomer sachar paying the full value of the item to a shomer chinam that doesn't own it. It's not his. He doesn't have a loss of the full amount. So according to the Rabbeinu, it comes out punkt fakir. According to the Rabbeinu, the lekulei alma, there is no tzad in this case, the shomer would keep it. Everyone would agree that any payment that you make would go directly to the owner. So we have on one hand the Imre Rabbeinu that says the payment, everyone agrees, like Rabbi Yossi, it goes directly to the owner, because you can't pay a shomer chinam more than he had in the item, and it's just a shomer, he has no bailus. According to the Shvaz Yaakov, we say everyone agrees it goes to the shomer, because we look at the premium, or look at the payment as tashlumin for the premiums. It's not paras shechaveroi, it's paras or momoin of the shomer of the shomer chinam. According to Taisvis, and L'chayra, the Taisvis go with is Rishon, we'll go with Taisvis, the halacha of a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar is the exact same as the halacha of a shoyol and a sachar. Okay, we're out of time, so Mirtzeh Hashem next week we'll begin Sechiras Karka. We're going to revisit this slightly, just to go through a little bit about the halachas of insurance claims.